Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 15 of the Revelation. And I'll read it, just 8 verses, but there's some good meat here. It said, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, because in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for thy judgments are made manifest. And this is hard to read this because I know these words are wrong and it's tough. In verse 5, And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And 7 angels came out of the temple, having the 7 plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the 4 beasts gave unto the 7 angels 7 golden vials full of the wrath of God, who lived forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were fulfilled. Now, we're going to go back and find out what all this means. Just 8 little verses, but there's a whole lot of meaning here. In this first verse it says, And I saw another sign in heaven. Well, anytime you see the word heaven, it's not what it is. It's the realm of the spirit. Okay? Heaven is not a geographical location. It's a mindset. God is spirit, isn't he? When we get into God, where would we be? In the spirit. See? What did they say at the beginning of this book? John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. See? Lord's day is every day. He's got them all. Okay. Great and marvelous. 7 angels. 7 what?
Messengers.
7 messengers having the 7 last what?
Plagues or calamities.
These are God's messengers, and they're bringing what? Literally, it says calamities. Mm-hmm. Ever have a calamity in your life? Guess who sent it?
You did.
No, God sent them. God planned this for us. See, there's only so many ways that you can possibly change. And the real only way is have some confrontation in your life. If you don't have someone come by and kick you in the shins, you'll never know what's within you. And that's a analogy there. You know, it's not.
You ought to be real good. I've been doing real good.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. We have to realize that the negatives in our life are the very things that make us change. If I never made a mistake, would I ever change the way I think? If somebody didn't take advantage of me and hurt me needlessly, would I ever really learn how to forgive?
You wouldn't sit down and think about it.
No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't learn anything.
You wouldn't learn anything. God knows how hard-headed humans are. And that's all of us. See? And until we hurt enough or get hurt enough or get mistreated enough or wore out and abused enough, we'll never say enough's enough. We'll just keep on doing it. A drug addict will never stop taking drugs as long as their mind says it's okay to do it. An alcoholic will never stop drinking until their mind says, wait a minute, this is not productive in my life anymore. Why would I keep hurting myself? Yeah. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what this is all about. We have to realize God knows what we need. Now, you know that the number 7 is not literal. Okay, it's a spiritual number. It's not an actual 7. It's the perfect number, right? So it's the number of perfection. So however many plagues we need, how many calamities we need in our life, we'll have whatever we need until we come to maturity. And see, some people can do it all their life and never change because they're just so hard-headed they will not change.
That's just the way I am.
And if as long as they want to say that's just the way I am, they will be just that way and the calamities will keep coming. So, it is. Okay. Now look what it says. The seven messengers having the seven last, that's great, the last, I like that word, calamities. Because in them is filled, or literally completed, the wrath of God. Now, what's the word wrath? Don't say, let Rhonda tell me what wrath is.
It's anger and vengeance.
No, it isn't. This word here is passion.
See,
the passion of God. See, the church teaches the wrong way. The wrath of God is the passion of God. Now, you can have passion towards your husband. Does that make mad? God has a passion. He has a desire for all to come to Him. Is that not true?
Yeah.
That's His passion. So He's going to do whatever it takes to get you to come back. Just like Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, did he? God said, okay. He jumped on a ship and took a cruise, but then there come a big storm. And everybody said, Jonah, it's your fault. So they pitched him in the sea, and guess what happened? A big fish swallowed him up. You want to go 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale? You can do it if you want to. And then he got vomited up on the beach, and I think I'll go to Nineveh now. And sooner or later, you're going to do what God asks you to do. Because God is God, and God can get anything He wants out of you to do. Whatever He wants you to do, He's going to get it one way or another. Remember that old Fram commercial, you can pay me now or pay me later? Cost more later.
Pushes you to the point to where you repent, you change the way you think about this.
Them seven messengers with them seven calamities, He'll put them calamities in your life to where you'll be begging God to take you wherever He wants you to go. And that's exactly what Jonah did. And there's all kinds of those instances all through the Bible. Those things are in there to teach us something. It's not a rose garden. Not yet. We're not there yet. We'll get there. Okay? Verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass. Now, the sea. The sea, to me, does not speak always. It depends on the context here. And we're not literally talking about water. Okay? But sea speaks of something else. Sand. It talks about a covenant. See, we have three covenants: dust, sand, stars. Dust and sand are on the earth. Stars are in the heavenlies, or the spirit realm, the higher realm. So if you talk about the dust covenant, it's first. Sand covenant was the second one He made with Abraham. Third one was the star covenant. Well, when you mention the second one, you automatically include the first one, because you can't get the second without getting the first one. Okay? You can't take a second step until you took the first one. So when He says a sea of glass, it talks about the second covenant, which includes the first covenant. And guess what's happening? There was a sea of glass. Do you know what sand, what it takes with sand to make glass?
Heat.
Fire. Calamities. Them calamities that those messengers got in that first verse.
Don't you think that sea of glass mingled with fire, that gives you the opportunity, or maybe that's the wrong word, it's an unveiling for you to see the reflection of yourself now whenever those calamities come in.
At the end of it, yes, but not at the beginning of it, because it's such an upheaval in your life you don't understand.
I remember those upheavals.
So you can't, now you can see it from this side, but you can't see it on the other side. So you're thinking right, but you're on the wrong side right now. Yeah. We'll go back. Well, this is beginning thing.
That says it's on the wrong side. Right now, I'm on the right side.
Well, but see, you're not. You're going off somewhere. Okay. But this sea of glass means that these first two realms, through all their calamities that they get given to them, because it's there to help them. See, they're not there to. It's not doing it to you. It's doing it what?
For you.
Okay. So it will make that roughness of that sand turn into a smooth as glass. It'll take you to maturity. That's the whole point of it. And it says it's mingled or mixed with fire. And that fire is that same thing as those calamities in the first verse. And them that had gotten the victory, not over, but from the beast, and from his image, and from his mark, and from the number of his name, and stand on the sea of glass. And there's the other side. Now you can see something. They came through. See, they've already become victorious. They've come through all those things mentioned right there. And now they're standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now they can truly honor God. you can't worship God. You can't honor God. Go into an organization. If you think that a Baptist church, a Methodist church, a Catholic church, or any other of these man-made churches can worship God, they're kidding themselves. They're saying they are, but God's saying, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What? He's not mad at them. Remember, it says, in that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things? And he'll say, I didn't tell you to do them. You didn't use my rule book, see? And I hate to say the word rule, but that's...
Guidebook.
It's a guidebook here. That's better. Because I give you a guidebook here to follow, and you went off and did it your way. That's humans. I mean, they do it their way. And it's okay. If that's what they want to do, I'm not mad at anybody where they're at. I was there myself. And God gave me grace and mercy, so how could I deny the grace and mercy to someone else? He didn't tell me to go tearing churches down. It's just a fact. Jesus did the same thing. They know nothing. He called the priests vipers and hypocrites and snakes and serpents and all kinds of things.
He doesn't need you to tear them down. They'll do it themselves. I mean,
oh, they're doing it themselves for sure.
You have someone like you and your husband who really want something from it, and they're pushing you away by their actions.
Sure.
The way they treat you.
Absolutely. And here's a neat one here, the next verse. And here's the thing about it. He didn't say it was Jews standing on the sea of glass. There's Gentiles standing on the sea of glass. And they were all Gentiles. The Jews thought they were special because of their nationality, but they got cut off, didn't they? And into verse 3 it says, and they, the ones standing on the glass, the ones, the overcomers, sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. So it's about Moses' song, they call it Moses' song or the song of the Lamb. Same song. You know where it's at?
Exodus
15. Exodus 15. I'm going there. I'm just going to read it to you. I'm not going to sing it. Believe me, you don't want to hear me sing.
I was just thinking of the song in that verse.
Well, that is part of it. See? Okay. Come on. I'm close. There we go. Okay, in Exodus 15 it says, then Moses sang and the children of Israel this song to the Lord. Who was Moses? They called him the deliverer, but that was in the natural, but he was a type of Christ. Okay? That's why they call it the song of the Lord and the song of Moses. I mean, song of Moses and the song of the Lord, of the Lamb, because the Lamb is Christ. It's all symbolism there, and it confuses people who don't have any understanding of symbolism in this whole book. The whole book's symbolism. In the beginning to amen. It's all parabolic language. He said, they sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown in the sea. And yeah, it didn't make sense to me for a long time, but we'll get to it in a second. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. And I had trouble with that for a long time, but this is Old Testament. So then there was still war and everything. It's all internal anyway. The war is still going internal. But the battle is whose?
The Lord's.
The Lord's. Pharaoh's chariots and his horses has he cast into the sea. There's the horse and the rider going into the sea. He was talking about doing away with them. And what did away with the horse and the rider, the beast nature? What did away with it?
The sea. If they drown. Yep.
The water.
The water.
The word of God. See, there's so many things hidden in these things, and nobody wants to see them. It's the word of God that does everything. If you want this taken out of your life, this beast nature, the horse and the rider, guess what? It's got to be by the word of God. It won't go away because I say, I don't like this no more. Go away. It won't work. You have to go through his process. And when you do, you're free.
So spiritual word of God, the thought processes of God being infused into you.
And whenever it comes into you, the other has to go, because two things can't possess the same place at the same time.
And it hurts when that happens.
You better believe it does. It's not fun.
It's hard.
You have to give up yourself. He goes on to say, the depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. Notice it's already been done. What are we wrestling?
Self.
Self.
Yeah.
It's already been done. What did Jesus say on the cross? It's finished.
It's finished.
You can't add anything to finished.
Yeah.
And in the greatness of your excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against you. That you sent forth your wrath, and see, it wasn't really wrath, we know that, which consumed them as stubble. It did away with their way of thinking. They had to be changed one way or another. Pay me now, pay me later. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright of the heap, and the depths of were congealed in the heart of the sea. And the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide and spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. And you did blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them, and they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? When you think you're going to go down, don't worry. You're not going to go down if he don't want you down. You go down if he wants you down, for his reason, whatever it is. That's why I say we're in control of nothing. When I had cancer, did you see me panic about anything? I'm not blowing my whistle. I'm just saying I am not afraid of looking at this physical body dying. If it goes, it's meant to be. If I'm supposed to be here, I'll be here. And if we all look at it that way, you don't carry all that stress around, which causes your body to die quicker. You're a nurse, you know that. Stress is terrible on the body. And if we can get rid of this stress, man, we can live such a nice, pleasant life. Does that mean you'll never have any flare-ups? No. But you'll be able to deal with them. You won't let them take you down. Okay. Said that you in your mercy has led forth the people which you have redeemed. Who did he redeem?
The people.
You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. Right back to him. Just like Solomon said. When we die, the dust goes back to the earth. Your spirit returns to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12:7, I think. And the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Adam, shall be amazed, and mighty men of Moab, the flesh, Moab, and trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. The Canaanites, the ites in the land. Yeah, so don't worry about them ites. They ain't got a chance, because only God can take care of them, and he will in his time. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of your arm, that speak reverent strength. They shall be as still as a stone. That wouldn't be very bad sometimes, would it? Can't talk. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Who did he purchase?
Oh.
But everybody can't go at one time. Every man in his own order, is what he said in Corinthians. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountains of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for you to dwell in the sanctuary, Lord, which thy hands have established. See, put them where he wants them. We don't have a choice in this matter. I don't have a choice in the matter. I do what I'm supposed to do and let it go at that. In the church world, I was always taught, like Paul said, in whatever lot you're in, learn to be content therewith. And I was always taught, well, when you get to become content there, God will move you up to another place. He didn't say that. It's another one of those interpretations that they give you. He's going to put you where he wants you. He's not going to plant you there and then rip you up and throw you over the side and let you die.
Well,
you know?
Isn't that the gift? Being learning to be content.
Yes, it is.
That's where
it's a gift of God.
Peace.
That's where you learn it.
That's totally trusting.
Yeah. Absolutely, totally trusting him. Don't worry about it. Whatever comes your way, it's sent to you by the Lord.
Satisfied.
And say whatever it is, amen. I've never probably said this to you, Rhonda, but in the Old Testament, there was two ways to answer God, yea or nay, right? Okay. The New Testament, in the New Covenant, there's two ways to answer God. Do you know what they are? And it's the same word. It's the same word, yes and amen. Amen is the Greek word. So all you can do is say yes. Then what are we in control of? See? I mean, if you just think. My job is to get somebody to think. If I can get you to think, you haven't got any issues. The battle is the Lord's. He's already took care of those enemies. All you've got to do is realize what He's put within you, and you're free. I didn't say it was going to be easy, but you can do it because He said so. The Lord shall reign forever and ever, and we're going to let it break right there. I don't have to read the whole chapter, but I want to show you that this is talking about that back there, and it's a victory that's already won. So what are we worried about?
See, if you're worried about anything, you've not won the victory.
Last night, Ben asked me about the book of Revelation. He said, what do you think about how scary it is? And I said, it's not scary. I said, I'm teaching it right now. I need to get a copy of the first 15 chapters and let him have it and say, listen to these while you're on the road traveling, and let me know when you get back. But it's all internal. And he can agree with that. You know, it's internal. Okay, all that out there don't mean anything.
They told you they only read the red parts.
That's a Methodist church.
There's the first red part I've come up with in the first
15. I understand. See, that's why I said, there's their whole book.
Mine don't have any red parts.
Yeah, mine don't either.
That just jumped out at me.
Okay. We're in verse 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who shall not fear you? And that word fear is mistranslation. It's reverence or revere. Who shall not revere you, O Lord, and glorify your name? The word name is anoma. It means nature and character. Why wouldn't they revere your nature and character? That's what Jesus came to do, to show the nature and character of His Father. Did He not say, I and the Father are one? If you've seen me, who have you seen? So you know what? We should be in the same place. And He said, Father, make them one with me as I am one with you. Do you think God didn't do what He said? So we should be able to say, when you've seen me, when I look at you, who have I seen? I've seen the Father. See? We're supposed to be that example to the earth. There are not many of them around, though, is there? Because it's all about the realm out there. But we should be able, and we shouldn't be afraid to say that, because Jesus said, and who does the church worship?
Jesus.
Jesus said, do not worship me twice. Who's being obedient there? They're all worshiping Him. He said, I'm your older brother. Have you got an older brother?
Well, yeah.
Okay. If you had an older brother, would he be any better than you? He's just older. And that's what Jesus is trying to convey to us in His lifestyle. I'm no different than you. I'm here to show you just what God wants from you. The same thing as me. And I'm showing you the perfect way to do it. I'm being obedient to my Father, and you can do the same thing. He's encouragement. That's all it is. It's just encouragement. You can do what I'm doing. Did He not tell His disciples, greater works than I've done shall you do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, come on. What did He say? Did He mean it, or was He just kidding us? Do you think He's kidding us?
Sales pitch.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? This is nothing to be a bad... Like Ben said last night, he thought this was terrible, all kinds of bad things. I said, no. This is all going on inside, in here. I said, we'll talk more. He can't swallow it all at one time. I know that.
But it okay. Tasted good. That's why he kept
crossing.
Tasted good the road.
Because it made three trips.
Eat your fill. That's
what the Proverb says. Okay. He said, glorify your name because you only are holy. See? Only God is holy. Because all nations... Let me go back to that holy thing. If God is holy, we are holy. Doesn't it say if the lump is holy... said if the piece is holy, the whole lump is holy. So we're part of Him. And I'm not holy because I'm Dave. I'm holy because I'm part of God. Yeah. That's the only thing holy, my spirit. My flesh is not perfect. It never will be. It's impossible to be.
Christ in me is perfect.
The Christ in me is perfect. It's always been perfect, whether I knew it or not. And I didn't know it at earlier ages. But now I realize that this flesh, it's going to make mistakes. It's going to do stupid things. So is everybody. God's not mad about that. When you know it's there, get away from it. Okay? Don't keep going around the mountain for 40 years in the same place. You know, move into a little better area. Keep getting better at it. Because all nations shall come and worship before you. Now, there's more to that than just saying that. It said all nations. Well, not good light here. I need my magnifier a little bit almost. I got to see what I've written down here. Oh, the nations. This is the same as verse 3 when it talks about the nations there. This, I didn't touch that there, did I? The saints, the end, the last word. Mm-hmm. That word is not saints. Okay? It is the word ethnos, which means nations. Ethnicity is where we get our word ethnicity.
Which one is that?
Saints? The word saints, the last verse, last word on the third verse. See, so he said, "Thy ways, thou king of the nations." Now, do you think God is concerned about America versus England versus Russia versus all them 190? Those aren't the nations he's talking about. He's talking about these nations.
Imagination.
The imaginations we have. We have an image of nations in our head. We have an image of things the way we think they should be. And that picture that our mind has drawn with the help of those cherubim is not the picture God has for us. See, we do things the way we think. And Lois can tell you, I say this constantly. I'm saying it almost every day to somebody. We do things the way we think, but we don't take the time to see if what I think is right. Is that right? People, they step out on things and make a stand on it, and then their pride gets involved and they can't back up without having to say, oh, Tom's wrong. That's hard for people to do. It really is.
Spoke too quick.
Yeah, and they want to make a defense on something that's not good. If you don't know, see, Jesus didn't say what you believe will set you free. Mm-hmm. It's what you know.
They've not experienced what they've.
No, they've had no experience at it. But I mean, in everything in life, they do that. That's the worldly way of doing things. If I got an issue that I think I'm going to be strong with, then I'm going to go out and bark louder than somebody else, and that'll make me right. No. What do you know?
It just draws attention to self.
And that's exactly what it's about, getting attention. Like that Kaepernick in there about sitting down through the... He's got the whole world just about on him right now.
Quick to hear, so to speak. Ties in.
There's a lot of things that ties that together, and we have to realize that we before be swift to hear and slow to speak is a wonderful point of contention with a lot of people. They like to speak swiftly and not listen at all. Mm-hmm. And that's why they get in trouble. And I get mocked a lot about it when I go down to McDonald's in the morning to have breakfast. But, you know, when it all comes down to say, they say, what's the truth about this? They'll come to me, and they'll do it when everybody else isn't around.
Think
tank. Yeah. They say, we know you know what the truth about it. Tell us the truth. In the midst of a bunch of people, they won't even get involved. I don't care. I'll still tell them the truth, whether it's a group of them or a few of them or one of them. Okay. We got the nations, right? Mm-hmm. Shall come. The word shall come. There's something more to that. That word right there does not mean shall come. It means to be in the presence or to arrive. All nations shall arrive or be in your presence. Talking about God. Okay.
To be present.
Why did they put it that way? I have no idea. That's just some of King James screw-ups. Because all nations, the minds will all eventually come, or arrive or be in the presence of and worship before you, because your judgments are made what? Apparent. Not manifest. The word's apparent. I think it's the word phanerou, but You know, with all these words, it's so simple to find out what these words really are in the Greek here in this passages, and to look at a Strong's Concordance or a Greek dictionary and see the word, see the number, find it, look at it and say, well, that word don't mean what they put there. Why? I mean, I really don't know how anybody could have gotten so far off course with some of these words. It's almost like somebody blinded them so they would do it intentionally. So we'd have to search it out to find out what's going on. And I believe that could be borne out by the scripture too, in Proverbs. Verse 5, and after that, and the word after is not the right word, it's the word meta. Tell me, Lord, what's that mean?
In the midst of
these things, not after that, but in the midst of these things, I looked and behold the temple. Okay? This temple here is not
the building.
This is naos. It's a spiritual temple. Yeah. In the midst of these things, and I see the spiritual temple of the tabernacle. See? Right? Of the testimony, of the evidence given in the realm of the Spirit. And it was open. It's open. Okay.
I was right and I didn't get temple, what the meaning.
The temple is naos. It's a spiritual temple. There's two different words they use for temple. Hieron is the natural temple and naos is the spiritual temple. And see, if you just write temple down, it doesn't tell you what he's talking about. Is he talking about the spiritual side of something, or is he talking about the literal temple?
Naos is 3485.
You can look that up in your Strong's.
I'm just amazed. I'm writing it down.
I mean, you would think, how lame would someone's mind be? It would be hard to mess it up this bad when you're looking at it. But
if you're teaching from the intellect, though, intellect.
If they were translating, though, these mm-hmm. were... But see, when the King James people translated, I used to get so mad at the King James people when I would read. I said, I can't wait to get on the other side. I want to jack-slap King James plumb into the next millennium, you know. Because it's so screwed up with the translation. But then when I read, there's something in the front of my Bible that's not in most Bibles. It's only in what they call preacher's Bibles. Right there it is, where it starts. There's 16 pages. It's called, I can't even read it, top of this. Get my glasses back on. It says, the translators of the Bible wish grace and mercy and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the name of it is, From the translator to the readers. Right here. The translators to the reader. Okay? And they tell you, I can't give you all 15, 16 pages in one shot, but they say, we're sorry about the way things are. They apologize. We only did what we could do with what we had. And we recommend you get every Bible dictionary, translation, concordance, anything you can do to have with scriptures, and go through it all and let the Spirit of God take it, and that's the truth. See, but they were sitting under a king, and they didn't have to do anything except contradict the king in anything he said. And he cut their head off, and there's nothing anybody could do about it. So, but it's amazing they got that part in front. They've eliminated that out of most Bibles to save money for 15 more pages.
They tried to shut them up, so
sure. They put it in the front of the book after an afterthought. They stuck that in.
That's why they crucified Jesus. Same thing. They tried to cut their throats. What makes a difference?
It doesn't. It's the same thing.
You cannot
thing.
Kill truth
you
or love.
You can't stop the Word of God. It's forever.
But didn't God just design it that way?
So sure.
That you got to study to show yourself approved.
Absolutely.
And it's not be ashamed. Right. You're right. And you're accurately handling the Word of truth.
Absolutely. Yes.
Same
thing. Am I doing it the wrong way?
15. Yeah, that's a pretty easy one. It is right here. It's just
what do you got there?
Just on the Kindle. It's what's this one called? Touch Bible.
Yeah.
It's out there, and you can look it up. You can search, and
like
then
if you touch
right here, any of those ones that's gray. Like, let's see.
Touch the word manifest. Go back down. Go on down one more. That's the
right
word
here.
You just said.
Manifest.
Touch
it. And it gives you the word right here. Uh-huh. And then right here is the Strong's.
You can do it without having the big books.
Yeah, just tap it and it lifts it up automatically without having to do all this.
Touch Bible?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of free versions on
the web. Yeah, like a Kindle and lift it up under apps, I think.
That's cool.
And it's a free version, so don't pay much for it.
What you were just saying, Lloyd, about everything being the way it is, God, in what we've said all morning, it says these are the Proverbs 25, verse 1 and 2. These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. He said them, they wrote them. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, and the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Well, the word thing and matter are both the Hebrew word dabar, which means word, W-O-R-D. So when you read it out, it says it's the glory of God to conceal the word, but the honor of kings is to search out the word. And it says in the New Covenant that we are to be a nation of kings and priests, and literally kingly priests unto our God. See? So if we're going to do it, we're going to be doing finding out the truth. We're going to search it out. That's all. Okay, where did I leave off here? Five or six? We already did five, didn't we?
We were talking about Naos and Naos.
Okay, and the tabernacle.
You didn't finish it.
The tabernacle of the testimony, or the evidence given in the spirit realm, not heaven, in the realm of the spirit, was opened. He said, I looked and I saw in it. When I beheld the spiritual temple, then I realized everything's open. It's all open.
And who was the spiritual temple?
We are.
Yep.
He looked within himself to see what was going on. And the seven messengers came out of the temple, and that's the Naos again, okay? Spiritual temple. Having the seven, what? Calamities. Not literal numbers, spiritual, right? Could be 40 or could be 2, whatever it takes for you to catch on. Clothed in pure white linen or pure radiant linen, and having their breastplates girded with golden girdles. It's all symbolism here. Breast, this is your chest. Okay? Covered with gold. What's that speak of, gold?
The nature of God.
So we got the nature of God on the outside protecting us. Although it's inside too.
What's inside the breast?
The heart of God, being protected by God.
Okay. Inside now, right?
Inside now.
Inside
just
now,
like, what's the Ark of the Covenant? Gold inside and out. It's covered the same way. And one of the four beasts, and that four beasts, we see it as four separate beasts, but literally the complete beast, which is the human man, the completed man, the overcomer, okay? Gave to the seven messengers seven golden vials. If they're golden, what are they?
They're God.
They're godly vials. They're things God's doing. Full of the what?
Passion.
The passion of God. And the word who shouldn't be who. The one that lives forever and ever, or into the age of ages. And the temple. Now, I want to take you back to another verse in 1 Corinthians 6:19. 6:19. It says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Glorify therefore God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So, guess what? This temple was filled with smoke. What is smoke? Let's go to the natural side first. What about smoke?
It's part of a fire.
Mm-hmm. It's what's coming out of the fire once the fire is burning up stuff. But what does smoke do?
Doesn't it make it hard to see?
It sure does. It has blinding power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We have to learn that this stuff happens because things being burned out of our spirit, it's going to blind us to other things. Okay? You get these firemen go in a house and they can't see. That's why they wear the equipment there, so they can see bodies, a human body, the heat sensitive. They can see a body there. If they're alive, they can see them from the body heat. So they can find people in a fire. But it was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. Who's inside of us purifying us?
God.
Who's bringing the fire?
God.
So why wouldn't there be a little smoke in our understanding? Okay. So don't worry that I'm not perfected yet.
No.
God's not in a hurry, is He?
Isn't that a blindness? Is that temporary thing until the fire goes out? And then it clears up?
When there's no more fuel to burn and we're burning impurities out of us, when the impurities are gone, what's the need of a fire?
Mm-hmm. Until you're purified, then it starts clearing up. You can see clearly.
Paul wrote in Corinthians something about that. What did he write in Corinthians about that?
You're talking about where you're looking to a mirror dimly, and that's not it.
That's in James.
Corinthians 13. Isn't it?
There's one in Corinthians where he said.
Corinthians 13, I think. We've seen a. Mirror dimly.
That's James on that part of it, but it's something similar to it, and I can't pull it up right now.
Okay. I'm just trying to.
Now, I appreciate the help, but I just can't get there. My mind won't let me get in.
Okay.
Said the glory of God and from His power, and no man was able to enter the temple. Which temple? Well, this is not speaking about just the spiritual temple. This is speaking about the Holy of Holies. This word.
Okay. Let's see. Okay.
What's the word there?
It says naos right there.
Yeah, but go into, there's another thing you can go into.
24:11, it says compare.
Yeah. Anyway, it's speaking about. Yeah, that's where you're getting into it. This is the Holy of Holies. He said, and no man was able to enter into the Holy of Holies. Until the seven calamities of the seven messengers were completed. Remember what God put at the gate of the garden for Adam and Eve? Two cherubim with flaming swords.
Yeah. That's
can't get back in. See, that's just another parable just telling you the same thing it told you right there.
The imagination guarding the way back to the tree of life.
You can't get there.
This is burning it up. Getting rid of it, and while it's burning it up, that smoke's clouding your spiritual vision, and then when it's lifted, then you're going into the Holy of Holies.
Same thing. Isn't that awesome?
That's a pretty good picture.
It's clearer to me. God wants us to understand. That's why He put all these parables through here so we can see it. There's hundreds of ways of saying the same thing. I came home one time. And I'd been out ministering a long time when we was in the Methodist church, and I had like 26 churches that I went to and ministered to. And Lois was home, and she'd went to our home, what they called the home church at the time. And when I came back in, she was sitting there, and I was sharing something with her. And I asked her, I said, do you realize, and you know, a lot of times, as I speak, things come in. It's not like I've got it all planned out ahead of time. It just comes in. And I said, do you realize that there's how many messages there are in this book? And she said, no. Do you know how many there is?
There's one.
Just one. Christ. And I told her that, and she said, no. And it wasn't a couple minutes, and you picked up a tape that Steve Everett had sent us. Remember that?
It wasn't in the Methodist church then.
Whatever, don't be critical about that. It's just the time.
Yeah.
And whenever she stuck that tape in, the first thing he said, in this whole book, there's only one message. And I just said it to her. And you know, I'd never said it before. It just came out. I asked her that question. It just came to me right before that. And I shared it with her. And then here comes somebody right behind it and says the same thing. And he was from Florida. Okay. But that's the way God works. He shows us things, and He don't let us plan. If He lets us plan, what do you think will happen?
Chaos.
Yeah.
Just like the church world. Same thing over again. So it's much better just to sit down and talk about things. I quit preaching years ago as far as preaching. We just talk. Everybody is part of it. It's not just about Dave. It's about, hey, I'm a gift to the body of Christ. And I'm supposed to give to you, not take from you. That's it. Okay. Not supposed to. Right?
Amen.
So, that's what I do. And I have preachers tell me, you can't do that. Why can't I? Well, you make us look bad. Sorry about your luck. I don't care. Why should I care? I mean, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. They do what they're supposed to do, it would be fine too, wouldn't it? Anything, got anybody want to talk about? Questions or anything else?
Let's stop this.